Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show here on the Voice of Vachon. We're located on Vachon Island, Washington. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. And together, we, the Briefly, strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you every week another episode of what we hope is intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Love that, by the way. So, introducing and welcoming our current Briefly panel. Today, we have Legal Eagle Mediator, Fulbright Scholar, and Treetop Flyer, Craven Beck. It's easy for me to say, isn't it? Yes, Craig
Bellis.
Golly.
Thank you, Truman, for that fascinating introduction.
Sorry. Doggone it. So absent today is our avid defender of justice and mariner, cyclist, and top secret engineer, which I always find fascinating, Kevin Jones. He's out backpacking today, I understand. And also absent is our historian professor and down under aficionado and our own guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman. Bruce had a doctor's appointment that he had to go to, so we're stuck with not having him as well.
I feel like we lost like all the gravitas on the show.
I don't think so.
Between Kevin and Bruce?
With that our guests will make up for
okay,
it.
Okay, all right, thank goodness.
And that voice is our newest member, part-time Politico fairy maven and self-professed full-time shenanigan coordinator, which I totally agree with, Amy Dreher. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So did you have anything to do with the stupid bike night?
I did not this year.
Well, this year you were out of that.
I was. I was, yes. I full-time shenanigans coordinator. I kicked off the first Friday fun last year and kind of ran the ball most of the way down the field. Yeah. And the last couple ones have
handed
been delighted to hand it off. And right. I hear it went marvelously.
It was really great. Really great. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. I'm Truman O'Brien. I'm sitting behind the big red switch here and just washed my tongue this morning. Can't do a thing with it. That's what they say about their hair or something. Anyway, I am really thrilled to introduce our guest today. We have two cast members of the new Vachon Opera's Othello. They're Aaron Brooks, who is Othello. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you today?
I'm very fine. How are
Good.
You, sir?
You have a wonderful voice, by the way.
Oh, bless you.
I love that. And we have Chad Armstrong, Iago, the villain.
Yeah, good morning.
Ooh, hear that voice. Yes, I can hear the villain in that voice.
Yeah, it's natural.
And soon to be here is Allison Poles. She's the artistic director of the Vachon Opera. She'll be here shortly. We're going to be talking about the production in just a couple of minutes, but as always, we're going to start our show by talking about what fun things we did this past week. So, Craig, let's start with you. What happened to you this week?
Well, a whole bunch of things, a lot of home repairs and whatnot. It seems like the never-ending projects. But on the fun side, on Thursday, we had the Thursday morning scramble radio show that Mike Nichols and I share. And our theme was the Democratic National Convention roll call songs.
What a great thing.
Well, it was my wife's idea.
Oh.
We were listening to the roll call, and we saw DJ Cassidy up there, and I thought, what a wonderful mix of songs, all picked by the delegations, not by the DJ. And It was really something. A few of the songs I couldn't play because you can't play those on the radio because they have the seven or two deadly words in them. But plus we can't play 60 songs anyway in the 3 hours with Mike Nichols and me talking to each other. And then, of course, Oh, you were going to say something?
I was just going to ask, did you play the DJ Cassidy, like, mixy mix of it and have, like, the Lil Wayne sort of intros?
No. There was barely time for the songs. I had to fade in and out of half the songs.
Well, then you were DJ Craig on the mic.
That's kind of what I do, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, of course, Stupid Bike Night, which we'll talk about it in a minute, I think, or in an hour. And then ran over to one more see Mike do his one more mile at Sugar Shack. His band, the band with Jason Lawler and whatnot, was just killing it over there. So
great.
it was
fun,
a good week.
Fun week. How about you, Amy? What were you up to?
Yeah, what was I up to? I was kind of here and there and everywhere, and I just got in from Denver last night, like on a late 9:15 boat, and so I'm a little bit. Like with you in terms of what am I saying? What, when, where? So, we were out in California. I was over in Denver, just kind of doing nothing exciting. But since I don't have kids to brag about, I'm going to take a personal moment of anti-privilege to say that I got a very excited call yesterday while I was at the airport from my niece, who has been elected as a fifth grade class representative.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yes. She ran on a platform of, she wanted to do everything she could to help the school feel more welcome and inclusive. And she wanted to let folks know that if there were anything that was bothering them, that they could come to her and let them know what was bothering them. And she would try to help. How did exactly she said it? I think she just said, like, I hope you won't be bothered anymore.
Oh, well, good.
And that
for
was a
her.
Winning platform.
That's a great platform.
Yeah, for a wonderful little girl.
For a fifth grader,
yeah.
Right?
And I asked her, I said, well, how are you going to execute on your programs, now that you've been elected? You have a responsibility. And she said she's going to start by listening.
Well, perfect.
So,
good for her.
Yeah,
what a kid.
Yep. So
that's awesome.
Shout out to Annie.
That's
today.
Wonderful. That's better than some politicians who promise all those things, and then when you ask them how they're going to do it, they'll go, I have to do something?
Wait a minute. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I did follow up with her and say, Annie, this is a big responsibility. I'm so proud of you for taking it on. And she was excited. Of course, her pawpaw said that the first thing they should do is get themselves a pay raise.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they should
of
vote
course.
Themselves.
There
in
go.
A pay
there
raise.
You go.
But yeah, I liked her listening because that's how I like to start with a listening tour.
There you go.
That's wonderful.
Well, speaking,
good advice.
Speaking of listening, Aaron, so how was your week? Oh, I know you've probably been pretty darn busy with the opera, but have you done any fun things besides the opera?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm staying with the Carhartts over here. Mm-hmm. So they have 20 acres.
Right.
So I get plenty of exercise.
Great.
I just walk the garden with my score, or I just sit in my studio apartment that they got for me.
Yeah.
Actually, Sunday, I was out here. I was at the hardware store.
Oh.
That's usually where I go when I'm here on Sundays. Give me a nice fat omelet.
Yes.
And I was just kicking it with all the bikers that was coming in there.
That's right.
They were so great. They were fun to talk to. We had a lot of conversation, Bloody Marys and pork.
Yeah, there you go. Know? There you go.
That kicks off the fun. That starts a party right there.
That's
Bloody
always
Marys and pork.
A good time.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So, Chad, how about you?
Well, I've been introduced to Vashon Island. This is my first time here.
Oh, fantastic.
I love the Pacific Northwest. I have cousins from Spokane. They're born and raised there, and they're spread out all over the U.S. now. So it's nice to be back. I've probably not been in this area for about 25 years since the last time we visited them.
Great.
So I was very excited to get on a ferry. Being from Saskatchewan, Canada, originally.
I thought I heard it about in there.
Yeah, it's in there, I know. Yeah. My wife's trying to get it out, but it's still there. it was nice to get on that ferry and just to finally get here. Our friends, close friends are the McRae's, Allison.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been talking about how great Vashon is and the opera company. So just to experience that this week has been wonderful.
Great, great. Well, I had a great week too. Of course, Stupid Bike Night, and I have to tell you, this was I think the ultimate Stupid Bike Night. I mean, that was just phenomenal, but there was more people. I've never seen that many people out. I don't think ever for sure for a Stupid Bike Night, but maybe not even for a First Friday. It was just a mob of people. My gosh, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we had hay coming the next day, So our annual hay delivery, 12 tons, arrived the next day.
I'm sure you were out there bucking bales.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You bet. I was sneezing the whole time.
Were you? I mean, were you actually bucking bales?
No, no, I was driving the truck.
Oh, I was going to say, you're pretty allergic to hay.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Big time, yeah. Somewhere my father was laughing, you know, hysterically. Because I, you know, he always wanted me to be a rancher, and I said, "No way, Dad! I can't do it with this hay fever." Now, what am I doing? Yeah. Well, anyway, so we had to leave early, and the first stupid bike, the big thing came, and we saw that. We thought that was pretty cool, and then I said, "Okay, Mary, I know you've got to get home and, you know, get some sleep for tomorrow, so we'll go ahead and leave." So we got in the car, and we drove to the back side over here, and guess what? Here's the parade. We saw it, the whole darn thing. Of course, we couldn't go anywhere because the, you know, the parade was coming. So we sat and watched the whole thing in our car with the music playing. It was fabulous.
Yeah,
it was the best way to see it, in my mind. Anyway, all right. So hey, before we get into our small talk segment, today is September 10th. This is World Suicide Prevention Day, National Swap Ideas Day. I think that should be every day, the National Swap Ideas Day. And it's also National TV Dinner Day. And now, you guys are too young, probably didn't get to experience TV dinners.
Aluminum.
Aluminum,
yes, indeed. You have that flavor of aluminum.
Ode aluminum, yes, indeed. And did you have the little TV trays that you got to put them on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. We all did.
I hated those things.
I did, too. Well, what will you do? So, hey, today is one day until the 23rd anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, Pentagon, and the crash in the PA Fields, which is a big deal. You know, being an airline pilot, my ex-airline pilot, I was pretty greatly affected by that whole event. I was home that day, so luckily didn't get stuck out in the boonies like many of my compatriots did. We have 56 days until the presidential election, November 5th.
Is there a presidential election coming up?
There is indeed. No. Okay. There is indeed. Very soon. 132 days until the inauguration on January 20th. Today in history, there's some interesting things. 1776, George Washington asked for a spy volunteer, and guess who volunteered? Nathan Hale. Pretty darned interesting. 1776. And 1846, Elias Howe takes the U.S. patent on the lock-stitch sewing machine. I think my mother had one of those, one of the original machines. It was the treadle kind, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a. And on this one I cannot believe. 1977, what is that, 47 years ago, France executed its last prisoner, a guy named Hamida Djanabui, something, I can't pronounce it. He was convicted of torture and murder, but he was executed by guillotine. Can you believe that? Only 47 years ago. Wow. Anyway.
That is hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
And I, at the risk of being somewhat morbid, the question is, was he face up or face down? That was a privilege that was given to the nobility to be face down.
Oh, otherwise it was face up.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that. Yow.
Okay, that's enough thinking about
okay,
that.
Okay, enough of that. 1981, Guernica, the incredible painting by Pablo Picasso, was finally returned to Spain on this day. It's currently exhibited in the Reina Sofia Museum in Madrid. I've seen it. It's amazing. You know, what's interesting is Picasso said that it could never be exhibited in Spain as long as Franco was alive. Well, Franco died in 75. So
Franco lived forever.
He did. And it took six more years for the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, to give it up. They said, "Oh no, it's too fragile. We can't send it. We can't." Yeah, right. And the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao has a whole gallery set up to exhibit it. And now the Reina Sofia won't let it go. So yeah, it's one of those deals, you know. I always thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, for that masterpiece. By the way, I got one more thing about the Guernica. For any of you who go out on a boat, if you go to the south tip of Maury Island, there is a bulkhead there,
right,
that's been painted like Guernica. It's a a facsimile thereof, with a couple of little additions. But the first time I saw that, I about fell out of the boat. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, kind of interesting. All right, so we always start our small talk segment.
Truman.
Yes.
We have our late comer.
Oh, my gosh, Allison. I forgot. How could I forget? Gee whiz.
You got stuck on a ferry, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
did. The ferry. How,
I can't believe that you got stuck on a ferry.
It's how unusual.
That never happened.
Impossible to believe. But I'm here now, so it doesn't matter.
Allison Pohl, it is?
Yes.
You know there's a Pohl Road here on Vashon.
Oh, I do know that.
Yeah, I thought you would. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Craig. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to slight you, my dear.
No worries.
All right. So, hey, but the way we usually start our small talk segment is to have you tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to Vashon and how you were in the opera. Oh, but I have to ask first, Otello?
Yes.
Not Othello?
Exactly.
Why?
Right.
Why is that?
I will field this one.
Please.
So this opera, Otello, is being performed in Italian. And
that answers my first question.
That does not mean that anyone coming to the opera needs to have any familiarity with Italian.
Ah.
Because we will have projected super titles for you to follow along the entire story.
Excellent.
And in Italian, there is no TH combo. Italian is a totally phonetic language, so there's an almost perfect correspondence between the letters and the pronunciation. But also, I will submit with no evidence whatsoever that it is possible that in Shakespeare's time it was pronounced Otello as well. There are a lot of Shakespearean companies now that are performing his plays with what they believe to be original, authentic pronunciation, and the pronunciation is quite different, and therefore some of the rhymes make more sense than they do when we read with modern pronunciation of English. And there are many examples of TH being pronounced just as a T.
Neanderthal.
So here we go.
There you are.
So there, are, I think, is a solid possibility that Shakespeare may have pronounced it Otello as well.
Okay.
I don't know.
That is fascinating.
That's interesting that they're doing that with Mr. Shakespeare's.
Right. So, Aaron, please tell us about yourself. What have you done in your career, and how did you end up in this production and here on Vashon?
All right. Well, my name is Aaron Dwayne Brooks. I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
Yes, sir. My family, they're spread all about Detroit, Alabama, Tennessee, Pennsylvania. My mother's father actually moved the family up from Alabama. My father's father, they came up from Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were in Detroit during the heyday of Motown, and where there was plenty of work. The bosses were paying. So it was a good time. And I grew up around a time where the city was on the decline.
Mm.
When I finished undergrad, we became the biggest city to file bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah.
So I did more school.
Smart move.
I got a full ride. Well, I got my bachelor's from Madonn University, which is just outside of Detroit. I got in on academic probation. Then after the first semester, I pulled out a 3.7 and ended up getting an academic scholarship. Excellent. That covered my tuition.
Excellent.
Praise God.
Indeed.
Then I got a full ride assistantship to Bowling Green State.
Wow.
Then I moved to Chicago for 3 years, and then I moved to New York for 7.
Wow.
And during all of that time, I've performed in Paris, I've performed in Italy, I've performed in Utah. I was here 2 years ago doing Bacchus with Allison.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
And now I'm back here again, singing my very first Otello And I'm very, very grateful.
Oh, man, fantastic. I can hardly wait to hear your singing voice. Mm-hmm. Your speaking voice is wonderful. So I'm sure your singing voice is equally as marvelous. All right, so Chad, how about you?
Well, I'm from Estevan, Saskatchewan, Canada. And my parents made it in rural Saskatchewan. Playing an instrument is not as easy to start as it is in some larger centers. So my parents made a concerted effort to make sure that we all learned an instrument.
Good.
And the first one that I started when I was 7 was the Highland bagpipes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I competed around Canada with Highland bagpipes until I was 18. And we also had a band program that was being started by a fantastic music teacher, Colin Grunert. And so I picked up trombone, and because he was so good, he taught us that music can take you places, because we went to the United States Jazz Nationals as this small jazz group from Estevan, Saskatchewan. We went to the Canadian Jazz Nationals, the Canadian Concert Band Nationals. So we got to travel, and the whole town got behind us to be able to, you know, fund all of that, and that was fantastic. Obviously, I was playing hockey, you know, and any hockey fans out there, I was also doing that. Successfully and enjoyably, but when it came time to decide what to do, I decided to become a music teacher. I went down to Minot State University in North Dakota,
yeah.
And I was playing trombone, and I had to take choir for the music ed degree, and the choir director heard my audition and said, "You want to be in the small group of singers?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?" So I did that, and about 3 months later, he just looked at me and he said, "You know, some school will pay you to get your graduate degree with your voice." And then I was like, okay,
wow.
There it is. And that's how that got started. So I didn't see my first opera until I was getting my master's degree.
Wow.
In University of Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah.
And then I ended up in New York City, which is where all Midwestern singers end up to do all of their auditions. Okay. And I've had the wonderful chance to sing in Italy, in the Czech Republic, in Hungary, in multiple states, only once in Canada. Amazingly enough. And also when I was in New York City, I met my fantastic wife, Sarah, and we have two fantastic children. And what also came along with that package was Allison Pohl. Allison and my wife have known each other since the first day of undergrad.
Yes.
Oh, really?
That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Allison, your turn.
My turn. Well, I grew up in New York, an hour away from the city, and went to school for voice. Met Chad's wife on the first day of school, decided she was the sister I never had, and we've been together ever since.
Wow.
And so lucky that I got to meet Chad as well and bring him here to do this incredible, iconic villain role, which he is doing such an amazing job portraying. And then I went to Boston for my master's and continued on with all of my singing up and down the East Coast, and then came here 9 years ago because my husband took over the cello program at University of Puget Sound in Tacoma. And he runs the chamber music program there and is also the principal cellist of Symphony Tacoma. And is still the principal cellist of Princeton Symphony in New Jersey. So he goes back and forth. But we really love our musical lives here. And I have always been a singer. And I was a soloist at Vashon Opera several times. Mm-hmm. And most recently as Susanna in The Marriage of Figaro last year. And as soon as that closed, they asked me if I would join their team as the new artistic director. And it's been such a fun adventure for me, and I feel like I was always kind of meant to run an opera company, but I didn't know how or when it would happen, and I'm just really, really excited about what the future of the opera company holds.
Well, I'll tell you, I am personally so impressed with what you folks have done, and it's just amazing to me that here this little tiny island out in the middle of Puget Sound has this wonderful opera company. I mean, it just blows me away, really. And, of course, Andy and Jennifer Curricula are really, I think, the main drivers that started the whole thing. And just
they were, and they are visionaries.
Indeed,
and they're
indeed.
Role models for me, and both phenomenal singers and performers as well, who will continue to grace our stage.
No doubt. I used to be the president of our board of their Vashon Community Care, which is a assisted living and skilled nursing facility. And the very first fundraiser that we did this thing at the hardware store restaurant where we put on a big dinner. And it was quite expensive to attend. And it was a dress-up affair, which is very unusual for Vashon. But the very first performers that we had were Andy and Jennifer. And they were new to the island. And nobody really knew them. And so they came out. And I think, I'm trying to remember now, if Jennifer played maybe the harpsichord? I can't remember now.
Oh.
But the two of them were absolutely fantastic entertainment. It was just, they were wonderful to have. And I have to tell you, Chad, I played in a high school band as well. And we had, again, a music director who was amazing. And we traveled ourselves. We went to Denver for the big international Kiwanis Club convention. We went out to Portland, Oregon for the Rose Festival parade. And anyway, we did a lot of that kind of stuff as
well.
So I really, really appreciate your background there. That's great. So to get off with our question, Jerry, I know that you said that that is obviously this is sung in Italian. Verdi was Italian, of course. And I know that some of his plays were or operas were translated to French, I understand. But this one is sung in Italian. Whoever wants to field it, how difficult is it to sing in a foreign language? First of all, do either of you speak Italian?
I do not speak Italian. I don't speak any. I'm learning Spanish. I'm learning the languages.
Uh-huh.
I can respond sometimes. If you speak to me in a different language, I can respond in English. But Duolingo is getting me through.
Well, that's the real question. Go ahead, Craig.
I can respond, too, in hand movements, especially, especially to Italian.
Exactly, yeah. Well, if you got your hand, if you lose your hand, you can't speak Italian, you know. No, so how difficult is that, though, either of you? Is it difficult to get the correct pronunciation? And do you have coaches that help you with that?
Well, that depends on who you ask.
Ah.
I worked with a fantastic coach, and he said I was doing very well, but my wife happens to be quite fluent in Italian. So she would continue to assist. But as far as the singing in Italian, Italian is one of the best languages to sing in because of what Allison was saying earlier. It's, you know, the sounds are very pure. There's five vowels. There's no diphthongs. You're not dealing with any of that type of, you know, English issues,
right,
as far as singing goes. And because the music is written for the Italian language, Verdi set it specifically for those words to be used in that specific way. So it's much more freeing than doing like an Italian opera translated into English, which is a very
miserable,
very hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, you bring up a whole topic that fascinates me. I sing in the shower and occasionally at weddings and that sort of thing. But, I look at opera singers, and opera singers, you know, voice training, theatrical training, language training, musicality, music concepts. I mean, there are so many different aspects to what you do. Where do you learn that? Do you learn it as you do it, or do you actually have coaches for all these things? Did you learn it in school? Did you learn it on the road? Where, you know?
Well, I will say for myself that I was, as I said, a voice major at a conservatory of music for my undergraduate and my master's degree. And this is where a curriculum like the one you mentioned is all laid out. And it's actually even much more comprehensive even than that.
Mm-hmm.
And to speak to the languages, we are expected to have a basic understanding of the grammar and syntax of these foreign languages, in particular Italian, French, and German. But what's more important is that every single singer on stage knows precisely what every single word means, that not only they are saying, but also what their colleagues are saying, so they can act and react appropriately,
right,
because we are actors just as much as we are singers. And also, we are all experts in foreign language diction. And so our Italian is native sounding.
Mm.
If you plopped us in the middle of Italy, we might be a little basic with our conversational skills, but our diction would be perfect.
That would be appreciated in Paris.
Indeed. Oh, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. No, I find that fascinating. I was an anthropology major in college, and I was always been fascinated with language and accents, and I decided to take a linguistics course. Hated it. Because of the complexity of learning how the languages mm-hmm. were put together, I thought it was just way over what I wanted to learn. But mm-hmm. I think
opera singers tend to love linguistics.
Yes,
and that's one of the things that draws us to this particular art form.
That is exactly what I was going to ask. I was assuming that was the case. Yeah. Seattle Vashon Opera is a small company, and really don't have the capacity to do the staging and everything. By the way, this past spring I had the opportunity to go to the Met and see Tosca, which absolutely blew me away. I wasn't a huge opera fan until I saw that. And I think maybe I've become one suddenly. My Wonderful. Wife will be delighted to hear that because she is a huge opera fan. But so my question is, how does that staging, does that really affect your performance at all? Or does it matter what the staging is like?
By staging, you're talking about the production?
No, the set and all of the...
Whether you're on the Met Opera stage, which Aaron has been on.
And Chad has been on several times as well.
Or you're in a room with a coach.
Right.
You want to sing it the exact same way. Your voice is your voice, and you hired for your unique instrument, and your voice is just going to function in healthily in one way. Right. When you get to, is the set large or is the set small or is the space big or is the space small? There is an adjustment period in trying to make it as natural as humanly possible.
Moving around the set.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it changes from, where we rehearse and mm-hmm. learn all of our blocking here in Vashon. It's not the place where we perform. Mm-hmm. So starting Wednesday night, we're going to go in and we're going to spend most of that rehearsal getting our voices used to the space, as well as just adjusting, how we, our lines, line of sight, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's a process, but at the same time, it's the same process every time you do a show. Huh.
In a big venue, a really big venue, where I guess you have to really project, are you exhausted at the end of the show? A show at the end of the opera?
No, I want to do it again.
Right away? Just like that?
Yeah.
I would think it would be.
I love this thing. And you want to make sure your instrument, because it's yours, that's what makes it special. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure your instrument is fully and well technically developed. Mm-hmm. Whereas, whether it's Vashon or the Met, or Utah Festival Opera, or La Scala, you will get 100% from me, Chad, and whoever's in the production with me, because anything less than your best is not allowed.
That's right.
I mean, it's cool. We don't see here at Vashon. I don't have to worry about you don't have to go reach as far back mm-hmm. as you would at like a Lyric Opera Chicago or at the Met. However, you will still get the full Monty mm-hmm. of all of us.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, you will get the full, you will get 100%, yeah, you will get our best effort.
Right. You have to sing with everything you have and everything you're bringing, everything. Yeah. Your life experience, your passion, your sadness, your joy, absolutely everything. If the emotion isn't in you, then your voice just isn't going to function as well as it should. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty and the joy of doing what we do.
I think of Vashon Center for the Arts as being a beautiful theater with an excellent acoustic for the human voice. I think it really, really favors and likes the voice. And for us, we think of a small theater as being a great, intimate experience for mm-hmm. the audience mm-hmm. where they don't need to bust out their opera glasses for Vashon Opera. They mm-hmm. get to see all of our artists' facial expressions so, so easily and get to have this deeply personal connection with the artists. And yet, for a small theater, we tend to favor at Vashon Opera larger, more powerful, more exciting voices. It's kind of ironic considering the size of the theater, but here we give our audience both the nuance of having up close and personal opera and the thrill of huge international world-class voices.
And that really brings me to the question that I know that, that audiences are greatly affected by the performance and the particular scene or the aria or whichever occurs. They're affected, and I know that you have to be affected by the audience. And I'm just, that is the question. In a small venue like this, do you have more affect from that, or is there less, or how does that compare?
Do you feed off of the energy from the audience,
exactly,
would you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's always nice in a theater like a Vashon Center for the Arts, which has incredible acoustic quality. Mm-hmm. You know, after the show, people come up to you and they say, your performance was wonderful, or we enjoyed it. We don't usually go to operas. A lot of it is people don't know opera. You don't know if you like it or not. You just need to get to know it. You just need to experience it. And the energy from the audience, and then the energy we give.
Exactly.
That's also important.
So it's reflected back to you, really, is what you're saying.
I got to follow up on that. This may sound like a silly question, but I sometimes I'll sing at a wedding or a funeral, and I'll sing a song, and I have trouble keeping it together. You sing songs with great emotion, great stories. Have you ever found yourself crying in the middle of your, your singing?
Well, being a baritone, it's rarely called for. You know, we're the comic relief or we're the evil villain. There is a role that I've done a couple of times, Rigoletto, which I did before I had a daughter. And the end of that opera, he's holding his dying daughter in his arms.
Oh, boy.
Because he started a plot that eventually led to her death. I can't wait for my chance to do that now.
Oh, boy.
That I have a daughter. But outside of that, it would be very hard for me to think of another role that we are asked to do where it has that level. And that's typically tenors. Sadly.
Whereas tenors, we're always crying about something. But I have had to take some time after a performance to just sit with myself for a minute and decompress and then go out and greet the people who came, paid good money to come and see us perform. And I think it's important to, thank you for coming. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you had a good time. I always pray before a show that people leave better than they did when they came in. So, I'm pretty emotionally involved.
And that is what gets the best performances.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I find that during the learning process of a role, the emotions are right there at the surface. And then there is a period of a bit of desensitizing, as you focus more on the technical task at hand. Mm-hmm. And then it comes rearing its ugly head when you're on stage and the emotions again come to the surface.
Well, because you're responding to the other actors,
right.
I would think.
Because performing is such an intense experience as a human being. And we hope to bring that to the stage every time so that the audience can be a part of that experience with us.
Exactly. Amy.
I kind of wanted to, following up, talk more about like what's available to you in Otello and how you like it as an opera and how it stacks up. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say, Aaron, your comment sparked such a wonderful memory for me about saying you want to go do it again. I have to get my band story in, which is I was in the Seattle All City Marching Band, and during the summer parade season, one of the parades is Chinatown Parade, and it's only about a mile loop, but that second half mile is straight uphill, right? So you're playing a trumpet, or doing whatever straight uphill, and most bands get done, and then, oh my God, right? The Seattle All City Marching Band does it twice. Oh, just my have God. To say. We do it. It's the only band that does it twice. But right. Yeah, I did want to kind of say, in terms of, you know, the Vashon Opera has brought, I think, such sort of classically wonderful operas to us and really accessible opera to us. My first opera was in seventh grade. I went to a postmodern production of Don Giovanni, which ruined me on opera for like 20 years until 30 years until I came back to Vashon Opera. But what are you enjoying in Otello? You know, you're talking about what's available to you as an artist and what you can bring to it. What's frustrating about it? What can you bring out of it? And how does it stack up to other operas you've done?
Oh,
well, I look at this particular opera as one of the best in all of repertoire. Mm-hmm. And Verdi has, who I believe is the Shakespeare of opera, you know, Don Carlo, Un Ballo, Rigoletto, the list goes on of all these great works. And it's funny, Otello almost didn't happen from Verdi because he loves Shakespeare. He had a successful opera in Macbeth. Mm-hmm. And then he does Aida, which transcends him even higher. Mm-hmm. So he's content. He retires. Giulio Ricordi, which is my Otello score, mm-hmm. Publisher, and Arrigo Boito, the librettist. It took them 10 years to convince Verdi to come back into composing operas. Ricordi says, hey, Boito just did this libretto for Otello. Take a look at it. Verdi finally says, all right, I'll look at it. He loves it. They're working on it. Boito's finishing the libretti. Verdi's composing the music. And a funny thing about this, until the opera was completed, it was going to be called Iago.
Yes.
Oh.
Because there's an unwritten law in theater. Because Rossini's Otello, which came out in 1816, which was a smash. Okay, there's already an opera out called Otello, so I'm going to call it something else. However, during the process, with the Esultate entrance that Otello has, and then the Act One duet with Otello and Desdemona, which Jennifer Krikowitz sings so beautifully. He wrote to Boito and Ricordi, it would be hypocritical. We got to call this Otello. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As great as the music for Iago is,
yeah.
Just the Act One things Otello has alone, it was just too powerful. It was so powerful that mm-hmm. you had to call it Otello.
So that brings me to the question that I was really wanting to ask. Othello, the Shakespeare, is such a tragic tale of jealousy and rage. And how does that translate to an opera? I mean, how difficult is that to perform, that's the question.
Well, it's basically, opera is basically a soap opera that's put to music.
There you go.
And it gives another perspective, another way to see this great play
right.
transformed into an opera. And the music is so otherworldly. I don't know what other word to use there.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's such a great, and that's tough to do because it could have gone badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because Verdi took his time with it, and he was an avid Shakespeare fan, anything less than greatness was unacceptable.
Exactly.
So the passion, the love that you, in anything you do, in all that you do, right. you want to give it your best. Mm-hmm. So it's a really beautiful thing that almost didn't happen. Right. I think about that and it's it drives me insane sometimes.
So now a real mundane question here. How much rehearsal time do you folks, I mean, now you've obviously are very familiar with, I mean, you've probably sung, have you sung the part before?
No, this is my first one.
My first one too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, that's one of the amazing things that Vachon does is they're doing an opera that most opera companies, I mean, 99% of the opera companies in the United States won't do.
And it's difficult to find the singers. She got three of them here.
I frequently talk about the fact that small companies that are similar in size would never have the fearlessness that it takes to mount a production of an opera as difficult and as iconic as Otello. And the endeavor is huge, but Vachon Opera is not afraid.
That is fascinating to me.
Hey, could I just say one more thing?
Yes, please.
Before I answer that question, the chorus is out of sight.
Really?
All right. Oh, yes. Yes. And we got here Sunday. I got here Sunday. We started September 1st. Mm-hmm. We sang through it. The chorus starts. I'm sitting up front. They start singing. I had to turn around. These guys sound incredible.
And the chorus is primarily made up of your very own Vachon Island residents.
Right.
We do have supplemental choristers who are voice majors in college, and we're giving them an incredible experience singing with a professional opera company and getting that item on their resume at such a young age, and they are so enthusiastic and excited to be with us. And we have a children's chorus in this opera, so we are giving 9 children, both from the mainland and from the island, a chance to perform on stage with these mammoth opera stars. And these are not just great opera singers. These are specialists. These are experts in the very particular and demanding art form that is singing Verdi, and not just any Verdi, but late Verdi. This is Verdi's last tragedy, his second to last opera that he composed. And as he went on in his life, his music just got more cerebral, more complex, and the tapestry of interwoven voices and the orchestral writing as well is just unmatched. I mean, I don't think that anything could compare to this gift that Verdi has given us.
Speaking of orchestra, what do you have for an orchestra?
We have a wonderful orchestra of 21 musicians for this particular opera, but they might as well be 100. They are the best of the Pacific Northwest, and they love to play on Vachon Island, and they love Maestro Brown, our conductor.
Yes.
They love to work for him. They're inspired by him, and they're inspired by the work that we do and the artistry that we put on that stage.
So you started rehearsal for this September 1st, is that correct?
That's
right. Yeah, we started staging and rehearsing for about a week and a half. And then we will have our Sitzprobe this Saturday.
Right. And tell them what that is.
A Sitzprobe is basically, if you put it together, Sitzprobe, it's seat test. So it's testing us testing whether and seeing how well the music is in our system. And also, it is the first that the artists on stage are united with the artists in the pit, the orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most singers' favorite rehearsal, just for that reason, because you get to, you've been with a pianist, and boy, did Vachon find a pianist.
Oh, yes.
Claire, holy cow.
Wonderful rehearsal.
Claire
pianist.
Forsterman is amazing. Shout out to you, Claire.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just to hear the strings and all the colors that Verdi just thought of, and it's to hear that meld with your voice in the hall, it just actually giving me goosebumps.
I was just going to say, I bet you that's a real goosebump producing thing.
Oh man, I mean, there's stuff that I can't wait to hear him sing and Jennifer sing and the chorus. It's just going to be We'll just be smiles the whole time.
Yeah. And you.
Magical.
You are doing well, I've heard a myself really sing a little bit.
So, you know, in the shower.
So I can tell you guys don't like each other at all and don't like performing together. I mean, gosh, it's amazing. So, you know, I would imagine that chemistry is really important, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. Coming into this meeting chat, actually meeting each other, Chad mm-hmm. and I, for the first time, mm-hmm. seeing Allison again, mm-hmm. Whereas we met doing Ariadne 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we've heard how great this orchestra is. Right.
Yeah.
You can play Strauss.
You can play anything.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So it's the camaraderie that we've built together here is really special. I've been in some productions, the camaraderie wasn't as tight. Great, mm-hmm. as tight. Mm-hmm. However, it does make a difference when mm-hmm. when you have these special people. We all going after the same goal. Yeah. And it's really beautiful. The whole process is just so amazing to be a part of.
Yeah, we cast not only for voices, but for personalities as well.
Yeah, I would think.
No divas in this room, huh?
No. Just great colleagues. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Vashon, now, Chad, you said you had not been here before, right?
That's correct.
And Aaron, you have been. So.
No.
So, how is it being on Vashon? Are you enjoying your stay here? And are you actually staying on the island?
Yeah, I am. I'm staying in a condo just mm-hmm. about a block and a half from here.
Oh,
so it was
fantastic.
A great commute. So I like that about Vashon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being away from the New York City metro area, yeah. the commutes yeah. here are fantastic.
Great.
But there is obviously a slower lifestyle here.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit more of where I grew up. I know Saskatchewan doesn't have water around it, but we are an island surrounded by a bunch of land and grain fields and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So that slower lifestyle, the smiling of, you know, somebody you just see in the grocery store when you walk by the aisle. That's, you know, it's nice to be reminded that there's places like this.
You bet.
One of the great things about growing up in Detroit, it is a city. However, there's a lot of nature, lots of parks. We're right on the lake. I grew up in the city, but there were parks nearby. There were parks in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. My favorite element is water. So to come here...
Oh, man.
it's a home. It instantly became a home away from home.
Right.
And I just want to just give some love to the Bunkowskis mm-hmm. for that wonderful Chevy Colorado that they lent to me and let me drive. I love it. The first pickup truck I've driven is magnificent. And I also want to give love to Whit and Mary Carhart.
Oh, yeah.
Gracious host, thank you so much for hosting me and making me feel at home.
And they are just sweethearts, both yeah. of them. Mary is one of the funniest people.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've encountered her yes. humor. She is yeah. amazing, amazing. Yeah.
I just want to ask some practical questions here as we wrap up. What's up next for the Vashon Opera season? What's going on with Vashon Opera this season? And then when, where, how can we see Otello?
We have a very, very exciting season, actually. This is our 15th season. We're super proud of that. And we are doing a Viva Verdi season, all Verdi. So we have Otello coming up, featuring Aaron as Otello and Chad as Iago, on September 20th at 7:30 p.m. and September 22nd at 2:30 p.m. And you can still get tickets. Please go ahead and visit our website, vashonopera.org, to get your tickets. Scoop them up now. And you do not want to miss this production. I promise you that. We also have projected film and images that is our main backdrop for this opera that is not only depicting all of the blood and storm and sea that Otello requires, but also is a glimpse into the tortured mind of the character of Otello himself and all of his doubt and his fear about the faithfulness of Desdemona. We're really excited about what this visually and theatrically is going to look like on the stage. And our next opera is in May of 2025, and we are doing Verdi's last opera ever and his only comedy, Falstaff, which is based also on Shakespeare,
oh, yeah.
on The Merry Wives of Windsor. And we have a spectacular spectacular cast coming in from all over the country, and we are just beyond ecstatic about it. And we have secret, I will not tell you the titles yet for next season, but a very exciting season planned for next year as well.
I want to know.
you want to get on the list. Yeah. I can hear that already.
You'll have to come to Falstaff to find out our announcement of next season.
Oh, all right. So a real practical question. Finances. What finances the opera? Is it just the gate, or is there more?
No. It, like all arts organizations, our ticket sales are just a fraction of our budget. We function primarily on the generosity of individual donors. And we have an extremely generous production sponsor for this production of Otello. And we hope that it will inspire others to sponsor entire productions and just see the quality of what we put on the stage and bring to this island. And hopefully it will inspire people to give gifts to our company, and they will be used, and you will see observable differences on the stage.
Great.
If you can be a part of our donor family. And we also do some grant writing, and we have some grants that kind of pad our budget a bit, but we've always been very proud to give as much as we can to our artists.
Good.
Very, very grateful as artists and singers. We're very, very grateful to donors who take the time out to support and help develop companies like a Vashon mm-hmm. Opera. This island is very, very blessed mm-hmm. to have Vashon Opera here, and the donors who help develop Vashon Opera and the people who run it, like James Brown, like Allison mm-hmm. Pohl. It's really, really a beautiful thing that you have here. It's a hidden gem that's not so hidden anymore.
Nope. Good.
Because I'm telling everybody that'll listen.
Now be careful. We don't want to get too many people.
That's true. That's true.
No, but we want the artist Rolodex. So
That's right. Well, listen, I very, very much appreciate you folks coming to speak with us today. I'm excited to see the opera. I hope that we've got the word out so that other folks will come as well. Aaron,
I just want to say one more thing before we let go.
Yeah.
It's this opera in particular is very, very special to me. Doing this role, I think of my grandfathers who grew up in the time and my father who grew up in the time and fought for that very same country that was not always so loving to them.
Yeah.
And these are hardworking men, men who inspired me. And, you know, reading Othello, this man came from nothing. He mm-hmm. got it out the mud, rose through the ranks
mm-hmm. yep.
to become top.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just through sheer work ethic. He was a great warrior, a great right. politician.
Right.
And honestly, a really good person. He was just coming up in a time the color of his skin
mm-hmm.
threw people off of him.
Yeah.
And because of that, because of what my father went through, I have it a little better today. And so when I do this role, I think of them, and then I think of, you know,